Hey there, humanoids. This is David Shoemaker here with a very exciting announcement. Your favorite wrestling podcast feed, The Ringer Wrestling Show, is now going daily. And you can hang out with me and Kaz on Mondays and Thursdays for The Masked Man Show.
And you can join me, Peter Rosenberg, alongside Stat Guy Greg and Dip every Tuesday with Cheap Heat. And on Fridays, I'll welcome a friend or special guest from the world of wrestling.
And on Wednesdays, we have a very special new show called Wednesday Worldwide that you're going to want to check out.
Pay-per-view reaction, one-of-a-kind interviews, fantasy booking, talking about bagels. That's what we do here on the Ringer Wrestling Show.
Follow the show now on Spotify and do us a favor. Give us 5 stars.
And do us another favor and stay mage.
This episode is brought to you by Visible Wireless. Don't miss the premiere of your new wireless savings with Visible. It's time to switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. That's no hidden fees. No, really. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed, use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/RingerMBA. Just go to Indeed.com/RingerMBA right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. It's been a little minute. I'm excited to be back. I'm here with my co-host, Pasha Hagigi. Are we running another episode? Off guard, man. It feels like it's been like, what, a month? It's
definitely been a few weeks. Yeah, we were on the West Coast.
Yeah, we were on the West Coast. But a lot has happened, low-key. You know, this is usually that time of the year where it seems it's a little bit dead, just in the basketball world of things, and even sports a little bit. But now, you know, you got college football back, NFL's on the horizon. USA basketball going on with FIBA. So there's a little bit, you know, going on, and we've had plenty to talk about today. So we're good to be back. Happy to be back.
I want to talk about our LA trip. We were out there for a couple of weeks. You were playing pickup. I know a lot of people probably saw you, you know, highlights of you playing pickup with some really good players. What was that experience like? Because I know you've been in Orlando all summer working out, but it's different when you're, you know, you're playing pickup with like KD, Devin Booker, Trae Young, people like that.
Yeah, no, it was good runs. I mean, that's the benefit of being in LA in the summer is just like you have everybody there. Whereas if you go anywhere else, there's good pickup, you can work on your game, but it's just, you know, obviously there's levels to things when you're playing against, you know, the best players in the world. So, it was fun, man, just being out there competing, seeing where I'm at, just condition wise, feel great right now. So it was a lot of fun going out there and playing, man.
The day that I went and watched you, there was a lot of buzz in the gym. The way they do it too, with KD's runs, there was, you know, 4 quarters. Yep. It just felt like a real scrimmage.
Yep.
And Drake walked in and the whole gym was buzzing. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, that was a good day for y'all to
that was a pretty cool
For y'all to pull up to and watch. I mean, I think that's the only day that it, you know, that happened. You know, the thing is, it's like the reason I like KD's runs is because it's very exclusive. He doesn't have, you know, they get a list out, I think, the day before. They maybe grab one or two players the day of. It's like 12, 14 deep max. And that way you're pretty much playing just about every game with maybe one or two alternate subs. Whereas, you know, Rico Hines runs, which are great. I love going to Rico Hines runs as well, but that's like a whole different experience. There's a lot going on in the gym. There's like 200 people, maybe even more in the gym. So it can be a little chaotic at times where this is kind of just more about the basketball. Not a lot of cameras. Everyone's kind of in there.
And you guys played 4 quarters. You guys were making adjustments. You guys were, I mean,
it was game. It was like a real game. Like we really did play 4 quarters. I think the score was like 120 something. I think we go to like 135. So it's like a full game. So it was, guys were competing too. You know, when you set that tone early that today we're like, you know, we're going to compete. It's not going to be one of those like bullshit pickup runs where everybody's just focusing on offense. It was actually like good basketball. So it was fun to get out there and compete, man. I was like guarding Trey and Terry Rozier and all these, you know, Jalen Green, talented players. So It was fun to go at them and compete as always.
I think it's definitely important too that they see how, you know, KD approaches it, how, you know, how he's playing. So if he's playing like that, everyone else obviously is going to play.
He sets the tone, starts with him.
Yeah, he scored the first, you know, at least
five shots in a row. Like, easy. Bro, the first five possessions, he didn't hit the net.
Yeah.
And like the whole gym was like, oh, Jesus. Okay. So he's playing. And you could tell even before we started playing, he was doing a workout with Jabari Smith.
Yeah.
And they were doing like a whole workout. And you could already see like the tone in the gym was serious. He was quiet, had a full sweat going. The best pickup is serious pickup. There's nothing worse than like just lackadaisical bullshit pickup.
Yeah.
So it was good to get out there and compete and work on your game. And KD definitely set the tone. It was fun.
We also, while we were out there, went to the Drake concert. That was awesome.
Yeah, we went to the Drake. Yeah, we saw Drake in the gym. And then we went to his concert that night, which was amazing. We had a great time. You know, the concert was lit. You know, at the end of the day, you know, you got all of his, he went through like the whole Rolodex of all of his songs. So
yeah.
I'm not even one of the guys that need all the visuals and like the dances in the background and the crazy like theatrics. Like if you have good music and you get a couple of drinks in you and you're hanging out with good friends and you got the music going in there, the whole arena. I mean, that's all you really need, man.
Yeah, everyone was asking me how it was and they said they heard bad things. If you know every song, you know the words to like every song when you're going to a concert, you're going to have a good time.
Yeah, exactly.
You're singing along.
Exactly.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
So this catalog obviously is unmatched. So that was a great time for sure.
I feel like
we squeezed in a lot in those 2 weeks. I'm good on LA for a while. I think I'm going to think back to Orlando.
That's because every night or every day when you're in LA, there's something going on. So while we were there, it just seemed like every day around 5 o'clock, it was like, yo.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
It's funny because every morning we start off by saying, we're not going to do anything tonight.
Yeah, we're not going to do anything tonight. Let's just hang out. And then like 6 o'clock, it's like, yo, I heard so-and-so is having a little get together. If you just want to, let's not drink. Let's just hang out. 3 hours later, I look at you across the room. You're like, hey. No, but you know what though? LA, it feels like if you're there for the right reasons, you can get so much done just in terms of networking.
Yeah.
It's kind of how I felt in Vegas when I went out to Summer League. I was there for 2 days. I felt like I was there for seven.
Right.
All I was doing was talking, networking, talking, working, networking. And it just felt like even though I was only there for 2 days, like I did a lot. You know what I mean? In LA, sure. We were playing pickup, you're networking, you're meeting people, meetings, this. Even when you're going out and hanging out with people, you're getting introduced to people because there's all types of walks of life in Los Angeles. Especially if you're like in that little scene, it's like a big high school where everybody kind of knows each other. The entertainment business, that's what I'm gonna call it. Just
it's
the whole entertainment business is in LA. And yeah, it was a good time and we had a lot of fun.
While we were gone and we took a little break from the pod, one of the things I saw that everyone was, you know, hating on Noah Lyles' comment. I know you jumped in on that on Twitter.
Did.
You had something to say.
I did say something.
Yeah.
I was like, what is the
said the delivery, his delivery, which was a big issue, I think. Even if whatever he was saying was right or wrong, the way he said it and you could felt like it was like rehearsed.
It seemed not only rehearsed and forced, it didn't even seem natural coming out of his mouth. And the way he talks, I think it's also his voice, the way he sounds. He was like, champions of what? The USA? I was like, bro, just shut the fuck up and run. You just run in a straight line as fast as possible, bro. That's what he's a sprinter. He's fast. He's one of the fastest in the world. I have all the respect for that man, especially to be in the Olympics. To be the guy, like, you're faster than everyone you walk around, it's a pretty cool thing to say.
Pardon me.
How that translates to you knowing basketball or commenting on basketball, to me, is comical. I understand what he's saying. I do think
there's... So do you agree with what he's saying?
I don't agree, but I don't, like, fully disagree with what he's saying.
Okay.
The best league in the world is an NBA. Everyone in the world knows this. Everyone in the world knows the NBA is the best league in the world. Everyone knows that the best players in the world play in the NBA. Bar none. Is there a guy here or there that might play overseas instead of the NBA because maybe he's from over there?
Mirotić,
an extreme example. And by the way, he still played most of his career in the NBA and then now he's finishing it up overseas back home. Are there those examples? Yes. Are there guys at like the bottom, like the 12th guy who's like teetering back between like a two-way or a fully guaranteed overseas deal, multi-year deal, maybe those guys, maybe a couple of those, but like the rest of the league, like the NBA, like the actual hoopers, like we all play in the league. That's just what it is. And when you win an NBA championship, you are the world champions because you're playing in the best league in the world,
right?
And you have all the best players from around the world in the fucking NBA.
Yeah.
So that's why we call ourselves the world champions. And if we took any NBA championship team and took the best Euro team, Euro club, they would get the shit beat out of them in a 7-game series. They might win one game just off the strength of maybe hitting them every shot, especially if we're playing NBA rules, where there's defense at 3 seconds, can't hit the ball above the rim, the pace of the game, the speed of the game, the two different leagues, man. Like, there's no way. The best Euro player in the league is the 12th guy on an NBA roster. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. There's a lot of great Euro players. The best Euro player is a 12th guy. Who's the best Euro?
Well, I disagree with that part.
Who?
I don't think, for example, Shane Larkin would be the 12th guy on the team. I think he'd be a solid backup point guard in the NBA.
Then he'd be a backup point guard in the NBA. I love Shane Larkin, but you're wrong. Shane was in the NBA for like 3-4 years, and then he left to go overseas.
He's gotten a lot better, it seems like.
What EuroLeague player is coming in the league and just going to just get a backup point guard spot up contract right now? Are you kidding me? No way.
So,
hey, bro.
I saw some people saying, taking this to another extreme.
Dante Exum. He's one of the better players. He's on a non-guaranteed, bro. A non-guaranteed deal in the NBA.
I saw other people taking it to the other extreme, saying the worst team in the NBA would beat the best team in Europe.
They would.
So let's say last year the worst team in the NBA was the Houston Rockets.
They beat the best Euro club.
And they would beat Real Madrid, won the Euro League.
Is there anybody on Real Madrid that's better than Jabari Smith or Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr.
Shangoon. I think would be an unbelievable Euro League player right now.
Not one of those guys. Not one Euro League guy is better than anybody in the Rockets. And that's the worst team in the league. I don't think they're going to be the worst team next year, right. But they were last year. And they would beat any team in the Euro club. And again, what I'm saying shouldn't be disrespectful, by the way. This is like common sense. All I'm saying is the worst NBA team, the best league in the world, should be able to beat a Euro club team. And your best thing was Shane Larkin, who, shout out to Shane Larkin, you got nothing but respect there. We had some battles in high school. Shane Larkin, Mike James, these guys were like 11th, 12th guys that kind of teetering in and out of the league when they were. Sometimes at best, they were like a backup role for like a stint of games. We're not talking like a full backup role from all 82 games in the playoffs. They're relying on these guys. That's a different thing, bro. There's a difference between being a backup and a guy who like served as a backup because of injuries or this, and that, or maybe had a little stint. Two different things. So, I mean, that proves a lot right there. But to Noah's point.
I understand what he's saying.
When you go,
You're not the world champions. You won the NBA. But do you really want the Nuggets to go on a tour around the world and just beat all the other teams too, just to say they're world champions? It's obvious they would win.
Be a waste of time. So, but I understand what he's saying.
And Jokic couldn't get out of Denver fast enough after the title. He's not doing that. He's not doing some tournament. You're a Champions League tournament.
It's not happening.
That guy's not doing it.
He had a beer waiting for him on the PJ. As soon as that parade ended, that guy had a couple beers waiting for him on the PJ to go back over the water. And I'll say this. I understand the Olympics and what they're doing when you're competing against the world. It is just a different thing. But in our sport of basketball, the best play in the NBA. Where like in sprinting, the best of the best really compete in the Olympics. It's just two different things. You know what I mean? Like gymnastics, sure, they have tournaments locally, and I'm sure in America, but the best of the best, what you get your credit for is every 4 years when you compete in the Olympics. Whereas the Olympics for basketball, it's like, bro, no one really, people care, but it's not like the NBA. You know what I mean? Like that's the focus is the NBA championship. That's why it's just different. I don't understand. The comment was not only whether he was wrong or right, it was just unnecessary. You're a sprinter. Why are you talking about the NBA?
He just wanted
attention. I don't even know what it did. And all he did is alienate himself from ever being cool with anybody really that's like popping or cool. Cause like not a rapper in the world fucks with that guy now. Even Drake came out and was like, bro, look at you, bro. You rehearsed this in the mirror the night before and thought it was going to go well, huh? Like, bro, that just tells you like no one agrees with it. And then Popovich even came back out.
It was an old Popovich quote that he essentially said the same thing years ago. Wrong about something, you were wrong about something. You want to go over it?
I don't think I was wrong about anything.
I was 100%. I said Brandon Ingram would be the best player
on the team. And who do I say was going to be the best player on the team? Just so we can get that out of the way.
You said Anthony Edwards.
Thank
which
you.
Statistically, I saw something that come out today, net rating, Halliburton's been the best player. And he has been hooping.
Anthony Edwards has by far been the best player. And he is by far the best player in that team. And there's not a player that's even in the realm of being close to second. It's like Anthony Edwards, and then there's a giant gap, and there's the rest of those guys.
I was completely wrong about Brandon Ingram. But you didn't think Brandon Ingram would be
struggling. No, I did not. Like I did not think Brandon Ingram would struggle this bad. It's to the point where it's a little bit like, what's going on? I also think because when you're on like a team like USA and you have so much talent around you, which they do, if you're not playing well, like they just have another guy there. So now like not only are you not playing well.
They're not getting him going.
Exactly. It's not like you're your own team where they're going to get you going. Like you're going to find yourself. Like there's no time to find yourself in USA basketball. If you're not hitting, they got another star sitting on the bench. Yeah. That guy's in the game. Yeah. So now like Brandon's coming in the game and now he's like, I know how it is, man. Like now he's like caught into fitting in because now he doesn't want to mess up because his minutes have been taken a little bit. So now he's coming
this
in.
This is a role that maybe you understand more than
I know this role. That's what I'm saying. So he's coming in the game like trying to be aggressive, but doesn't want to over be aggressive because when he was overly aggressive, it didn't work before. But now that's not who he is because he's a scorer.
Yeah.
So like the other day he had 10 points, 4 or 6 off the bench. Like he played pretty solid. It seemed like he struggled to kind of find himself. It doesn't help that like Anthony's playing so well and that's the guy they're clearly playing through. So like Brandon's essentially like kind of playing off the ball and he's not really like an off the ball like spot up. That's not his game. Right. So like you said, like who fits around Anthony Edwards better? Like does Brunson? I love Brunson, but he doesn't fit better than Halliburton. Do I like Brandon Ingram? Does he fit better than Cam Johnson or Reeves? Guys who are just going to spot up and shoot. Guys who are going to go in there and Josh Hart. Guys who are going to go get offensive rebound and kick it back out to Ant and play off him. Guys who are going to cut, come set him picks. Do you know what I'm saying?
So, no, absolutely. This goes back to our whole thing where you need players to complement the better players.
The better player, yeah. You can't just put the best players on one team. You know what I mean? Someone's got to give for it to work. So it's been interesting to see. You know, this team, I do like how they're constructed. I know this isn't our A team, and it might not even be our B team, but the guys that we have are like really good players, a couple all-stars, and then the guys who aren't all-stars are like really good complementary players and defensive first guys. Yeah. There's a lineup where it's like Jaren Jackson, Anthony Edwards, Halliburton, the kid, who's the dude from Brooklyn?
Mikal Bridges,
like very long, athletic, all defensive-minded guys as well. Anthony Edwards, guys who can play at both ends. And I feel like that's their best lineup, especially in the fourth. Austin Reeves.
But every game, the bench trio of Austin Reeves, Paolo, and Halliburton have come in, and they just start cooking immediately. It happened again too.
They have a good rapport. Yeah. Hey, Paolo's played great.
Yeah, he's a perfect FIBA big.
He's played great, man. He's played big. He switches on the smalls. He's been aggressive. He doesn't force shots. You know what I mean? Like he's playing the right way, which you know. Any young player could go out there and like try to score every time he touches it. Right. Like he's playing the right way. He's really shown that he knows how to play like winning basketball. You know what
this
I mean?
This is
like,
great for him afterwards.
Absolutely.
A rookie of the year
going right into FIBA, going into a second year campaign. I think, you know, a lot of guys go into camp and go into the season. They start slow. He's fresh off the FIBA. Sometimes those guys come out blazing because he just got done playing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like camp starts in like 4 weeks. This guy's going to start. This guy's playing for another week and a half. He's really going to have 2 week different time of like between FIBA ending and his season starting.
For sure.
So exciting times for the Magic fans.
As a Magic fan, how do we get Halliburton? They play so well together. This guy's going to look great.
Halliburton might have just checked in with his 2 6. What did he sign? He's not going anywhere, bro.
He's not going anywhere.
Indianapolis is locking that guy down. And his personality and the type of person he is, like he don't even care to be. You know, somewhere like in Florida.
No, I'm a little worried that people are going to start.
No income tax, Tyler.
People are going to recruit Paolo away. I know how these Olympic teams, people start recruiting.
Oh, yeah, no, they're talking. What do you think they're talking on the bus all day? Yeah. It's not good for Paolo.
Paolo's not going anywhere. So where you were wrong, I was wrong about Brandon Ingram. You were wrong on.
Where was I wrong?
You told the audience that Austin Reeves wouldn't really be in the rotation. And he's been a big player.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you
did. I was wrong about that.
You were. He's surprising a lot of people. I didn't think so either.
I thought Austin Reeves, based off of the footage that we were getting from the scrimmages and the early on practices, it didn't look like Reeves was going to be an initial guy who was going to be playing a lot. I thought him and Josh Hart would have like moments where they needed him. I didn't think they were going to be guys that were going to be playing 25 minutes a night.
Yeah.
But what happens is, like you said, you need guys to complement. And what Austin Reeves has pretty much shown is he's a guy that you could pretty much put on any team in the NBA, and he's playing big minutes. He's aggressive. He's smart. He plays hard. He's competitive. He doesn't force anything. Those five things, and he's not high and turnover prone. And he gets in the NBA, he's very free throw heavy. He gets to the line.
I think that's his best attribute. Yeah. He's so aggressive.
Yeah, he's aggressive always. You know, so me and you have always been fans of him this whole year. When people were like trying to give him a hard time, you know, we were pretty positive about his play. I didn't think it would translating him getting this much minutes in FIBA this early, but he's played really well, man. I mean, I got to tip my hat off to
him. Do you think future all-star, or are we jumping the gun a little bit?
The only reason I say we're jumping the gun is just because it is so competitive in the West, and in any conference, especially the West. For him to make an all-star game, he'd have to like outplay Brad Beal. I mean, he'd have to outplay some serious scores, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to have to outplay Brad Beal. He's going to have to outplay, because now he's in the West. You know, you got Shea Alexander, you got Steph Curry. I mean, the guard spot in the West is pretty much locked up, man. You know, Damian Lillard's still there. He probably won't be, but You know, Jamal Murray wants to be an all-star for the first time, still hasn't made one, and he's healthy now. Like, bro, this is who Austin Reeves has to outplay.
Yeah.
It's just not going
to happen. Jamal Murray's the best player ever to not make an all-star team. And it, obviously that's due to circumstance and injury. But
yeah, if he didn't get injured, he'd probably be a two-time all-star by now.
Yeah.
But he'll be one next year. So
you thought Canada wouldn't have any chance at beating USA. Obviously, Lithuania just beat USA.
Didn't they play Canada and USA?
No.
They haven't played yet?
No.
But edit that out.
They might play in the finals. Canada without Jamal Murray looks really, really good.
They do. With Jamal, they would have been OD.
And we all just saw USA lose to Lithuania. So now you're changing your opinion a little bit. Obviously, Canada could get one off USA.
Yeah, they could.
Lithuania made their first
anybody can win in one game, man. If they played Lithuania, bro, if they played Lithuania best of seven games, it would be 4-1.
So you're not worried about that loss? You don't think
that's
crazy?
No, man. That team shot their load. they
lost by 20 today to Serbia.
Come on, man. Those guys had a come to Jesus moment. Did you see the threes that they were hitting? Some guy banked it. You can see how gassed they were too on the bench. They were like, I mean, they had the game of their life. No disrespect, but all disrespect. They're a good team, but they're not beating USA again. If USA matches up with Lithuania again, it's going to be a blowout.
Do you think USA is definitely going to win the gold?
I don't think they're as dominant enough, but I have them winning. I have them winning. I don't think it's like a for sure thing. Like, we're winning automatic. They can win. They can lose to Canada. I mean,
I just don't like how it's almost becoming normal.
France has been what's been going on?
I don't know.
They look terrible.
Yeah, that was bad.
They're getting beat by everybody.
Yeah, Latvia beat them. Latvia ended up being good, though. They're good. They made the final eight.
Yeah, man.
This episode is supported by State Farm. Man, I remember when I first got into a car accident, it was pure frustration because I did not have State Farm. And now that I do have State Farm, it is an exclamation of pure joy. But the only words that you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com.
If USA had their A team, does anyone touch it?
No, man. This would be a slaughter. What is it? An office holster? Cornell holster slaughter.
No, seriously, though. Even when they had our redeem team and the 2012 team, some of those games were close against Spain.
Yes. Some games were close. That was prime Spain, by the way, with like the Gasol twins. The Gasol brothers, they had Rubio, Fernandez. I mean, they had like a really, and those guys have been playing with each other their whole life, and most of them were pros or big time Euro pros. Like, that was a good, and again, it's just one game. They don't got to beat them in a 7-game series. That's another reason why, going back to Noah's comments, why it's so ridiculous. It's in one game elimination, man. In the NBA, bro, you have to win 4 rounds of 7-game series, bro. You know what I mean? Like, it takes luck out of the equation.
Right.
When you have to beat someone out of 7 times, there's no more luck.
Yeah, that's
anymore.
Not a lucky Miami Heat run.
No, you have to win. That's why people love the NCAA tournament. Anyone can beat them. Yeah. We lost to Lehigh, brother. That team was terrible. They had CJ McCollum and a bunch of guys who work in cubicles now. If we played them again the next day, we would have beat. They lost to Xavier the next time by like 20. But that game versus us, they were up and we lost.
Yeah,
that's what makes FIBA interesting. The USA can lose next game and it's a wrap. You know what I mean? But in the NBA, you have the best team wins.
So who would be your A team for America?
I mean,
give me the lineup.
You got Stephen Curry. You got LeBron James, Kevin Durant. I'd probably put Devin at the two. My center would be Joel. Do we get Joel for that? Okay, so we get who would be our center? Who's
Anthony Davis?
Anthony Davis.
Bam.
And probably Bam. I mean,
bench, Damian Lillard, and then Jason Tatum,
and then instead of like a Josh Hart, I have like the best version of that guy.
Well,
like I got Jimmy Butler coming off the bench. Like you want a dog? You want to think about him playing that role? Right now, you got Josh Hart getting rebounds. Matter of Jimmy Butler grabbing in there and going.
That's a good point.
Two different things, bro. Like
Paul George,
like, bro, come on, man. Look at this team we're naming right now. We winning every game by 50, bro. Are you kidding me? We don't even have our B team out there. I'm missing guys right now. We're not even talking about Donovan Mitchell and other guys. So we didn't even throw them in the mix. Like, come on, bro, get out of here.
How do you feel about Shea and Josh Giddey both hooping for their countries? I feel like that's going to be a really good backcourt next year for the Thunder.
I love Shea's game.
Yeah.
He is so fun to watch. He's must-see TV. Can go each way, left or right.
Stops on a dime.
Stops on a dime. His pullback is one of the nastiest in the NBA right now. Going full speed, pulls it back, especially going to his right. Three-level score. Shaky with the three because it's just a slow release, but is able to get it off just due to how quick he is and how lethal he is off the drive. You have to give him room. So when he's hitting the long ball, he's pretty hard to guard. So Shea's impressive. I like Giddey, you know, and I played pickup with Chet. It was dominant.
That's my rookie of the year pick next
year. Yeah, Chet, that's a good pick, by the way. I think who was the number one pick this year? It was Victor. I think Chet could win. I think Chet could that'd be a competitive between those two.
Yeah. It's gonna be a unicorn race.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Speaking of next year, what we got? We got a little what?
Let's get into you and me came up with a list of guys that we call it revenge year, a lot to prove. Mm. Guys that are gonna be looking for payback this year.
This is the biggest year in a long time for the NBA because I think it is a huge revenge year for multiple star players. And I think it's each year there's always a guy who is looking to settle a score or prove people wrong, but never have we had this much drama or this much anticipation going into a season. And in terms of revenge and payback, I really do believe this is going to be one of the most entertaining seasons in NBA basketball that we've had in a long time, just due to multiple guys needing to have a big season.
I'm going to name some guys, and you're going to tell me what you think. Do they need a revenge year? Are they going to have a revenge year? I'm going to start off with Ja Morant.
Ja Morant's number one, okay? We all know what happened
with Ja. We're not even talking about him potentially being on Team USA. Like, people are just forgetting about him. Like, as far as, like, the future of the league.
That's actually a great point. We just had that whole team we just put together and didn't even think of Ja.
Yeah.
And he's one of the most prolific, athletic, you know, star guards in the NBA right now. Ja's had a rough summer. Obviously, the way the season ended last year, there's a lot of drama going on with that team. It seemed like they were always in the papers or in the news. The papers is nuts. The papers is insane. They were always in the media and in the spotlight, but for the wrong reasons last year. And whether it's Ja, you know, T, a lot of those guys were always in the face front of that. Dylan, obviously, he's moved on to Houston, but he was a huge part of that. And then they got smacked by the Lakers, who just had gotten enough to play in. It's a big year for him. He's had a lot of bullshit going on with him off the court, and it's kind of gotten to the point where enough's enough.
I think it's good that it's been quiet on his front.
I think he's done a great job.
Yeah.
And it goes to show that his actual apology, everybody's like, oh, we heard this before. Like, bro, he's 20-something years old. The guy's making mistakes, man. He's got all the money in the world at his fingertips. He's got all the access. He's probably got very few people around him that's really telling him no, or that's not a good idea, because he's Ja Morant. People can take that one way or the other. I'm glad that we talked about this. This is like his Iverson moment. You know what I mean? Like, Iverson went through a little shit before, like, he got his shit together and, like, really just continued to excel.
We talked about it. Winning makes everyone forget about everything. And if he comes back and he's dominant and stays out of trouble and they're winning and they're a good team, which they should be. They have Desmond Bane on a long-term deal now. You know, Jaren Jackson Jr. is playing FIBA Defensive Player of the Year. They should be near the top of the West. And if he's a big part of that.
I want Ja to be what everybody wants him to be. And that is the next Derrick Rose, you know, prior to injuries. That is Russell Westbrook. Both of those guys have MVPs. I want Ja to have an MVP-like season. I want Ja to come back healthy. I want Ja to stay out the fucking club. I want Ja to lay off the alcohol. I want Ja to be focused. I want him to be in shape. I want his jump shot to be improved. I want him out of the media. Show up and hoop. Be all in the media just due to how great you're playing.
Yeah, and then there's other guys in the West that are coming up. You know, Jamal Murray just won a title. De'Aaron Fox had a hell of a year.
Big year.
And these guys are all...
We didn't think about him. He's not even on the USA team.
Right. People are going to start, and, you know, they're going to do their preseason rankings. I'm sure we'll do something like that too. And people are going to start leapfrogging Ja.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah.
But I want Ja to really be on some revenge mode. He's number one on the list. Next.
Jordan Poole.
Absolutely. Jordan Poole's another name. You are part of a championship organization, a top-tier organization. Seemed like it got a little weird towards the end, and it started in the beginning of the year with all, we all know the Draymond incident that kind of like kicked it off. And then from there, there was just like,
Steph getting technicals for throwing his mouthpiece when he shoots a shot.
Yeah, it just got weird. And there's like the first time in a long time we've seen the Warriors have like a chink in their armor. And I'm not counting the years when they were bad, when everybody was hurt, because that doesn't count.
Yeah.
This is the first time with all their guys playing that like shit wasn't going right. And it looked like it was more of a chemistry thing.
Right.
And they ship you off across the country.
It's just not. It's very rare when a young up and coming talent like that gets
rare.
Moved.
Never happens. Yeah. I mean, unless something's wrong.
Yeah,
it's the only time something happens.
When James Harden going from the Rockets, it was all financial. So
yes, and he wanted to leave. Yeah. I mean, when else have you ever seen a young rising player who's got drafted through a championship organization and they just shipped him off?
Yeah,
to hold on to the older guys who probably only have how many years left?
Yeah,
of playing elite basketball. I love Clay. I love Steph. I love Draymond. I don't know how many years left they have of being like dominant. They're still going to be in the race.
We all thought Jordan Poole would be carrying it over.
And Kuminga and those guys will kind of be like inserted within the
Wiseman
mix.
Wiseman too. Wiseman's gone.
Yeah, like they got rid of those guys. Yeah. They kind of went a different direction. Bob Myers dipped. You know what I mean? Like he's doing ESPN next. You know, this is like, it's like a whole new thing over there. So I want Jordan Poole to go to DC and average 25. I want the Wizards to actually compete.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're going to win anything. They're not going to win any fucking championship. I don't think anybody believes that. But the Wizards need to be in the playoffs next year. They need to be in the playoffs.
Or play-in.
Play-in or playoffs. And with Kuz, who can average, he just got a new contract, a guy who can give you 20 points a game. You got Poole, who can give you 20-25 a game. We're both big fans of Tyus. A really solid point guard. You know what I mean? Like, that is a team that I feel, with all the right things and health being considered, I think they can make the playoffs. Jordan Poole needs to have a big year. He needs to, like, I want him to, like, he needs to make the Warriors look bad, essentially.
Yeah.
Because, and that's, in what world does a top tier prospect get just for what? What'd they trade him for?
Well, it ended up being Chris Paul.
It's a strange trade.
Well, so Chris Paul, one more year left on his deal. It's financial.
But it's still just a weird deal. And the fact that you're receiving someone who's 38. And you're giving away someone who's in their young 20s, who's not even had his best years in the NBA yet. There's flags there.
Yeah, this guy helped you win a title.
Huh? Yeah. And he absolutely did. Yeah. Jordan Poole's not on that Warriors team a couple years ago. They don't win. I don't care what anybody, they lose to Boston. They lose to Boston if they don't have Jordan Poole on that team. People can say whatever they want about Jordan, but he was unbelievable in that playoffs. He had so many big games, bro. So I look to see him have a huge year in DC.
Next guy up, we have Zion.
Zion Williams, man. This has to be a big revenge year for you, bro. Like, each year you've been injury prone. Each year you have not shown up to play and work to the point where you were supposed to be like the second coming of LeBron James. And I'm not saying your games are similar, because LeBron's more of a point forward who could pass. And obviously Zion's like a point, or not a point, he's a power forward. He's, you know, whole different game. But in terms of your resurgence in the league, your name, your likeness, your hype, your buzz, you were not on the LeBron level, but whatever you want to call it, it was very, very high.
It was a Barkley, Blake Griffin, Sean Kemp.
And people were excited about you, and they want you to be one of the faces of the league. And I'll give you credit. Every time Zion plays, he's dominant with his numbers. That's not the issue. The number one skill in the NBA or any professional sports is availability. And he has not been available, bro. And then to cap it off, this fucking summer, it's been a shit show for him off the court. So now that's, he's also been quiet. And I've seen photos and videos of him lately. He's in the gym. He looks like he's in shape. I need Zion to play 70 games, man.
When he went out last year, they were kind of a sexy pick as a title contender.
I mean, do you remember the start of the season last year?
Remember the 360 windmill to beat
the Phoenix? Yeah. I mean, they were one of the best teams in the league. I mean, this guy looks, that's what I'm saying. When he plays, I got nothing to say. I got nothing to pick at or point at when Zion's on the court healthy to play. He's a beast when he plays. But he don't play a lot. He's hurt a lot. They baby him. They said they don't listen to him. He doesn't listen to them. New Orleans is saying it's his side. Zion's saying it's New Orleans' side. Like, I don't know what's going on, but you got a talented young coach in Willie Green. You got a talented young player in Zion Williams. You got
a great roster.
You got Brandon Ingram. You got young talent around you with Murphy. And then who's the other lanky guy there?
Dyson Daniels. Jose Alvarado. You say CJ McCollum.
They have two. It's Trey Murphy, and then who's the other guy?
Herb Jones.
They got like talented, lanky guys around that can play on both sides of the ball. Like, bro, go to the playoffs. Go do something. Go play 70 games. I don't need 82 from you. It's unrealistic with his body type. If you give 70 games from Zion, you should be a top five seed in the West, and he needs to be an all-star and have like a dominant, like first team, second team like season. Because his numbers point to that when he plays. So I'm excited to see Zion be healthy. They say he's healthy now. We'll see what happens.
I want to see Zion have a big playoff moment. I want to see him in the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying. I want to see
that's
Zion.
How you create your legacy. That's what right. The memories. Exactly. And I want to see Zion in the playoffs, you know, at the peak of his powers.
Exactly. Exactly.
Next guy up, I have DeAndre Ayton / Bradley Beal.
Okay, tell me why.
Both of those guys for different reasons. DeAndre Ayton, I feel like people are, you know, I feel like it's a lot of blame.
You got a lot
every
of negativity.
Time, every time Phoenix has a shortcoming in the playoffs, they point the finger at him because they don't want to point it at, you know, Kevin Durant or Devin Booker.
Well, you can't point it at point it at Devin last year. He was about as perfect of a basketball player as you get in the playoffs. That was insane. People don't even talk about that, by the way.
Yeah.
People do not talk about what Devin did last year in the playoffs. Do you remember he was having like 34 and like 40? But it was nutty shit he was doing.
And when,
like
and when they got smacked at that deciding game against the Nuggets, if you think about it, they won the most games against the Nuggets in the playoffs. For them to get all that flack, you know, they got blown out by the Nuggets that elimination game. They're the ones that only got two wins on the Nuggets. No one else even did that.
Yeah.
Your Timberwolves got one.
We almost got two.
Lakers couldn't get one.
No.
Yeah. But I just feel like he gets a lot of blame. And when they went to the finals against the Bucks, people were looking at him like he was, you know, one of the next, you know, best big men.
Yep.
It would be nice to, you know, sign his offer sheet with the Pacers, Phoenix matches, a lot of issues with him and Monty Williams.
Yep.
I'd like to see him succeed. And on the flip side, Bradley Beal, you know, there hasn't been a lot of winning in Bradley Beal's career. They had that one really good year. They went to the second round, lost to the Celtics, Kelly Olynyk game seven. I think that was 2017, something like that. I want to see Bradley Beal. You're on a winning team now. This is your Ray Allen going to the Celtics and potentially, you know, buying in and playing winning basketball.
Okay, I see where you're
going. I want to see Bradley Beal, you know, have some meaningful moments in the playoffs too.
So Ayton took a lot of blame, fair or unfair. There's a lot of plays and highlights of him where he was like really lackluster on defense, like not getting rebounds. Like Jokic, it looked like he kind of gave up versus Jokic. There were reports of issues between him and Monty. The reports and videos of him getting into it with other star players on the team. Then it was, he doesn't want to be there. He was mad that the max offer didn't get offered right away. Remember that was the drama the year before. Mm. My thing is, brother, you got paid. You got $137 million. 2 years ago, you were one of the most promising bigs, to your point. Versus Milwaukee, he was fantastic. In that whole series, he was. Go have a big year. Go be a really solid piece. You're not the best player. You're not the second, and you're not the third. But the team you have is super loaded and you have a chance to go win a title. Go be a big piece on that team and you'll get another max and another max and another one on the way out. You know what I mean? Like, just go play basketball and be a good solid player. And he even came out and said it's been tough. He's got a lot of negativity. It seemed like everybody wanted him to fail and it kind of messed with him. We are all human. I think there's like this thing out there that people think like we just don't see any of the negativity that comes. I think NBA players, because of the wealth and the busyness of their life, they're able to push a lot of it aside. But make no doubt about it, we're in our inboxes. We look at our comments. We see that stuff, man. Maybe not all of it. Maybe it doesn't stick as long as it might stick to somebody else. But like, shit does bother us. And you could, especially the level of hate that he was getting last year. I'm really looking forward to him turning it around. I want him to have a positive year. And as far as Brad's been a top tier scorer in this league since he's been in. But he hasn't been on really like a really winning team. He had a year or two there with the Wizards where him and John were kind of like carrying them just to the playoffs. But this is like championship time, you know, for the Suns. They have a chance to go win. Brad doesn't have to be the best player or the second best player. This is a whole new situation for him. But this is a guy who can shoot the shit out of the ball and can score with limited amount of dribbles. If there's any player that can fit in with Kevin and Devin, it is Brad. So I look forward to Brad having a big year, man. I think he's going to be a good piece for them.
Next guy up, Giannis, obviously lost in the first round, was injured some of those games. But he's had some recent comments in the media about, you know, looks like he might be having one foot out the door with the Bucks.
Yeah.
A little shaky, but you're a Bucks fan? Not loving
It's getting
that.
A little weird. You saw they signed the third brother.
Yeah.
They're going to sign another one too to make it. I'm about to change my last name to Uncle Kupo.
For sure. They're obviously going to do whatever they
can. They're going to do whatever they can.
Absolutely.
Right after he says these comments, right after this guy comes out and says, listen, unless they show me love, you know, I don't really know if I'm going to be back here playing for the Bucks. Maybe I have to look out. Week later, Bucks sign Giannis's little third brother. I'm like, bro, how many brothers is he going to get on this team? As many as it takes to keep him, man. Because both of those brothers, listen, man, do what you got to do. Do what you got to do. I'm not here to I don't get up by putting somebody else down. But Giannis, big year for him, man. I mean, you got knocked out first round in the playoffs, and it's not even that you lost first round; it's how you lost. It was a weird one. Yeah. Like, it just seemed
obviously
like
it was unfortunate he was injured for some of those.
I was about to say he gets the benefit of the doubt because he was hurt, so that's obviously a big deal. But the way Jimmy was just bullying that team, it was kind of weird. I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, it was an alpha showdown.
No, it was an alpha showdown, and Jimmy won. Yeah. I mean, he bullied that team. So big year for the Bucks in general. But yeah, Giannis. And he even had comments. He was like, wait till next year. I'm going to show y'all next year. I'm going to bounce back. So
I mean, he didn't play FIBA.
He didn't play FIBA. I mean, he's putting all it into this year. I mean, he's going to come out ready to go. Giannis is big MVP season ahead. That's all I have is he's going to be in the race. I mean, he's in the race every year, so that's not really a headline. But yeah, I think a big year for Giannis.
Jaylen Brown.
Absolutely. You're the
you have the biggest contract in NBA history, and you're not the best player on your own team.
Yes.
People are going to be looking at him. And the whole can dribble with his left hand. People just dog him all the time. Obviously,
you know what, man?
Like social media, it's there.
Ginobili never went right, and you couldn't guard him either. Yeah. And by the way, I never go left, and they don't stop me from going right. Okay, who gives a fuck? Listen. Does he need to work on his left hand? Maybe, sure. I don't know. But clearly, he averages 20-something points a game. We live in such a, like, what-can-you-do-for-me-lately world
right.
that people forgot that the year before in the finals, he was the best player in the finals for the Celtics. Yeah. He outplayed Tatum.
And the reason he got that contract is his second team All-NBA. The guy had a great year.
Unbelievable year. He just struggled a little bit versus Miami. And that's because he had Jimmy and Bam Adebayo hounding this guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he had an off-series. Yeah, big year for him. You're the highest paid player ever.
Yeah.
And like you
every
said,
every time he has a bad game, it's going to say, biggest contract in NBA history, off night. It's going to follow him around. Man. Good problem to have.
Jaylen's in good hands, bro. Jaylen's going to be all right. You're going to get 24 a game, 23 to 25 points a game. He's a two-way player when he needs to be. Celtics are going to be right back in the race. They had a weird year last year. Their chemistry just seemed they had a lot going on. They're questioning whether the coach is going to be there or not long term. Now that's kind of not really an issue. If they don't come back down 3-0, Joe Mazzulla is probably out of a job.
Right.
But they come back, and Joe's a young, talented coach that they're building up. He's still learning, by the way. It's his second year coaching, head coaching. And Jaylen Brown, big year.
I'm going to ask you some rapid-fire questions.
Let's get into it.
Do you think Luka has anything to prove coming in the next
Absolutely.
Year?
Absolutely. I was about to say, why is it Luka on this list? Why aren't him
only
and Kyrie?
Because the only reason I didn't put him on the list is because I think it's 4 years in a row now he's been first-team All-NBA. It's an unprecedented level of dominance in your first 5 years. Getting four-time first-team All-NBA in your first 5 years is crazy.
Individually, he has been absolutely dominant. There's no. I mean, the way it looks like he's bored sometimes playing in the NBA. No, seriously. Yeah. It looks like his FIBA highlights. He's just out there.
Jamal Crawford's one that said he's a prodigy. He's already figured it out. He's like a Bobby Fischer chess champion prodigy. Like, this guy's already figured out basketball.
He has, though. I mean, he plays at his own speed. It looks like sometimes he's out there just trying shit. I don't even know how to explain it. I felt that the first time I played him when he was a rookie, when we played against him in Houston, I was like, God damn, this guy's. I remember Seth's like, man, he could play, bro.
He's playing a different game.
He just plays like a grown man's been playing. He looks like he's been playing in the NBA for 30 years. It's just the way he plays. He has a level of comfort you can't really teach. I guess as an individual note, I don't really have anything to say just because, like you said, four first teams in your first 5 years is like unprecedented. I mean, that's just, that is crazy. I guess the team success.
Yeah, and you're in your fifth year and you don't make the play-in. That's not – everyone else's career is pretty linear. You know, LeBron, once he didn't make the playoffs the first 2 years, he was in there. And it's finals. For him to go in his fifth year and not make the play-in is weird.
Yeah,
we're going to look at that blemish. Like, when we look at his Hall of Fame career, we're going to be like, oh, that was that one weird year where they got Kyrie
and they didn't make the play-in.
Yeah.
Him and Kyrie got to figure that out, though. Yeah. They're too talented of a backcourt.
Well, Kyrie got his contract, so hopefully there's not.
Yeah. They need to go play. And Kyrie's been playing all summer. He's been playing in, like, you know, pro-ams. And they have
sidebar. I love watching this. Whenever I see a Kyrie Irving highlight on
people
Instagram,
made fun of me. People made fun of me because I said he had the most sexy basketball game, and everybody's like, "Pause, bro." I'm like, bro, I'm not calling him sexy. I'm saying his game style. The way Kyrie plays the game, it is the most enjoyable thing to watch in terms of basketball.
Nothing he can do.
There is not a player on the planet that I'd rather watch. If you had to pay me, or if I had to sit in a chair and watch any NBA player play pickup for 2 hours, it would be Kyrie Irving every time. He has a really nice, and then Paul George might be right behind him. In terms of, like, nice games that just look clean, just smooth, like just an all-around game. Although Donovan Mitchell's New York highlights have been silly, bro.
Yeah.
Who's that guy that he hit with the cross and made him, like, he hit somebody with some nasty cross last week. It was another NBA player. Anyways, yeah, Kyrie. Kyrie's definitely
the... Did he do that too? I'm
trying to... Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, of course.
He hit him like the movie.
Like that? Like,
yeah, like, guy ran the other way. Like, I was like, who was that was doing that?
I don't remember.
It doesn't matter. But yeah, it was... I got Kyrie over anybody in terms of guys I want to watch. But him and Luka need to have no play-in is insane.
Yeah.
And they have good role players, man. Last year they had Finney Smith, they had Reggie Bullock, Josh Green. You know what I mean? You had like really solid role players around them. Now they added Seth Curry. They lost, I believe, a couple of those guys. But they still have the majority of their role-playing cast. Picked up Grant Williams. Like, that team needs to be a top five seed in the West. Yeah. Seriously.
The next star to ask out, is it going to be Embiid or Giannis?
Embiid.
You feel it?
Embiid should have been asked out.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Once you have that MVP year, now he got it. And his sidekicks have been James Harden, who's historically been, I guess, unreliable in the playoffs, even though he has great numbers in the playoffs, you look it up. And, you know, obviously before that, Ben Simmons. He's probably feeling like the organization's letting him down a little bit. What else can he do besides be MVP? That's the peak. That's the highest of the mountain.
The top of the mountain is winning the MVP. And right now it looks like he's over the slope of that roller coaster and it's starting. That drop is like getting ready to go down. I mean, who does that team have right now? But here we are. So I don't understand what Philly's doing. I don't know the direction they're going in terms of like what they're building around Joel. So if you're asking me between him and Giannis, you know, over Milwaukee, man, they're signing Giannis's cousin. They got Giannis's grandma in the kitchen cooking.
And they won a title. Milwaukee could say we got you a title.
And he's already got one. That's why no one talks about Giannis when it comes to winning or all that. Once you get one, like Jokic is off the hook now.
Yeah.
You gotta get one. He had an MVP like season. They gave it to Joel. That's just kind of off of, can't give this guy three times in a row. Off the back to back MVPs.
Yeah.
Could have won a third one. And then what he does is after he doesn't get one, he goes, okay. And goes in the playoffs and dominates everyone and then wins. And everybody's like, oh, shit, okay, that's the real MVP. Right. And
sidebar, if Jokic was playing for Serbia right now, that'd be dangerous. USA would have their hands full.
Who does Serbia have?
Bogdan Bogdanovic. The team looks good. Nikola Jovic.
Do they have both Bogdans?
No. And Nikola Jovic, the young guy from Miami, might be in the Damian Lillard trade, but that's still on hold. No one knows what's going on. They look good. They just beat Lithuania by 30 points, and Lithuania beat USA. So that's a sidebar. If Jokic was playing for Serbia right now, that'd be must-see TV.
Sidebar, must-see TV.
All right, next question. Everybody, every summer, this guy's been in the gym. You saw it with Zion, Luka every year. This guy looks different, changing our body. Actually, you and me agreed that D'Angelo Russell actually does look different.
He looks fantastic.
Yeah, he looks swole.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a teammate come into the season actually with like a big improvement, look completely different?
Yes.
Who was it?
I've had that happen multiple times. I think off the bat, the first player that probably comes to mind where I've really seen, I saw Jokic one year, the second year when I came back, he lost like 23. Remember that year? He was like skinny a couple years ago and he like really came in like crazy shape. He won MVP that year. And you're like, wow, you know, he lost 20, 30 pounds. Other than that, man, most guys usually come in, I mean, most of the pros, man, most of the really good players, they come into camp ready to play. Even if they're out of shape, it's only by a little. It might just be rhythm and a little rust. That's what preseason's for. But, like, it's rare you see a guy come into camp just looks nasty. Like, it's just so unprofessional.
Yeah.
We're not the 90s anymore where we're doing conditioning tests and we have these crazy training camps, man. We have one-a-days now. When I first came in, it was two-a-days every day for, like, a week. Now you might get one two-a-day, maybe just one. And the second part of that two-a-days is just a scrimmage. It's, like, a fun. You know what I mean? And it's stopped and controlled and they got all the recovery now, and training camp's ridiculous now. It's not that hard. So there's really no excuse for you not to be coming into camp already in shape, man. So I haven't really been with someone where I saw someone like so crazy, insane, reformed. Like usually guys are already where they need to be at, but Jokic off the top would probably be the one I've seen. I've seen a lot of videos of guys in the summer acting like they're doing a lot.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that? I see everybody on Instagram looks like they're in top tier shape. Comeback season. Yeah, they're going to count me out now. You know, their little hashtags they have on their pictures, all their little fucking corny slogans and quotes from songs and stuff. And they're in the gym and then they come in, they like suck. So I'm looking forward to seeing who actually is putting in the work. You know that saying, there's a time where winter will come and ask what you've been doing all summer. And
I've never heard that.
You like it or no?
Did you make that up?
No, I didn't. I wish I could because that was smooth the way I just delivered that. but it's the truth, man. Winter comes and it's going to ask every time, what have you been doing all summer? And it'll be seen. So we'll see who's that.
Even like Jimmy Butler, who you see at every U.S. Open match, he's still, then you'll see a video of him with Chris Brickley working out. He's getting his workouts in.
Yeah, guys like that,
I don't
worry
about. He's still having a good time.
Jimmy's had a hell of a time. This guy's been hanging out with Jay Balvin, wearing cowboy hats and I'm in London with my fiance and I'm walking around and I see Jimmy just walking around in aloe fit, hanging out with Carlos Alvarez and all these dudes. I'm just like, bro, this guy's living the dream.
Because no one's questioning his work ethic. That's why.
You don't have to. This guy just carried his team to the finals last year in crazy fashion. The way he put a team on his back has been seen very little. It reminded everybody of like Kawhi-like Raptors season. Like that shit he was doing last year, the only person we could compare it to in recent history was like Giannis and the Bucks. And Jokic was doing it too, but he's a center. In terms of like a forward, like you thought of Kawhi.
Yeah.
You're like, bro, this dude is just carrying this team. And they almost got it done. I mean, they just ran into, you know, they ran into that Nuggets team, which just wasn't going to lose. But Jimmy looks like he's been having a good time this summer. But he looks in shape. He looks incredible, bro.
I think that's the number one thing that fans don't understand. They'll see someone, you know, out and they'll be like, why aren't you in the gym?
You're supposed to be in the gym 24 hours a day, bro?
He's like, I have the next 4 months off. You want me to just what? Live in the gym? I just live in the gym.
People don't understand that he could have woke up at 6 a.m., had breakfast, went and did a whole lift, hard conditioning workout, then went to the gym for 2 hours, worked out, and then he could go to the beach after that. People see him on the beach like, why aren't you in the gym? He'd be like, what? I just left the gym. And he'd go back and shoot at night and then get done, shower, and go to a late night dinner and see him out at an event. People are like, oh, Jimmy's partying. Like, bro, he's been in the gym all day. Relax. You know what I mean? People just don't really understand. Those are idiots. I hate that. It's like a pet peeve of mine. You want to talk about pet peeve? I cannot stand when someone else comments on someone else's work and why you're not doing something, considering they have zero knowledge in that field of how
it works. It's not like they have that itinerary of your schedule.
Yeah, they have no idea what your schedule is, and they have no idea what to do anyway. You you don't even know how to work out.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
It's funny, man. I don't ever see a doctor hanging out like, hey, why aren't you at the hospital?
Yeah. You see a guy at happy hour, you're like, they got to get back.
Get back in the hospital right now. Like, what are you talking about, bro? I don't watch Grey's Anatomy and think I can perform open heart surgery. To all the people who just watch basketball and then now become an expert, it blows my mind. And I say this even to TV personalities, man. There are some top tier.
It goes along with everyone's like, Jalen Brown needs to work on his left hand this summer. It's like, he's just never done anything with his left hand.
Yeah, it's like, summer. Bro, it's comical, bro. It's comical. That's exactly a great point, man. Yeah. That stuff right there. And there's ESPN. Fox News, all these, you know, big time networks, man, they got great TV personalities, guys that get views online. They go on here and their job is to not, I want to say talk shit, but it's to be very highly opinionated in a fashion that gets attention. I'll put it that way. And a lot of times these guys have no idea what they're talking about, but it gets clicks and views and whatever. And it's a pet peeve when I see like guys like that. It's one thing to attack someone's performance. That's fine. That's your job. It's another one to like attack another guy's work ethic when you don't know his itinerary. You don't know what he's doing on a day-to-day basis. And by the way, you don't know what you're talking about in terms of what you need to do to get better.
Right.
So that's annoying to me.
All right. Last question for you. Who's a guy you've seen this summer, either played with or even saw on, you know, social media or whatever, that you think is going to have a great year?
Austin Reeves.
Yeah.
I think he's in line to be most improved. Last year, he averaged like 9, 10, 12.
Something like that, yeah.
You know, so he had a really solid year. I think he could be like 16, 15. And
LeBron seems cool with kind of playing off the ball, letting him rock.
I think so. Especially at LeBron's age right now, in the regular season especially, any help that he can get that can like kind of keep the load off of him a little bit and where he's kind of relaxed a little bit is a win. And it looks like Reeves is kind of heading that direction, especially this FIBA stuff is really boosting him. I think even his confidence, all this positivity he's gotten from Laker Nation, just from the overall sports media, it seems like everything he does is on the internet. And I know that bothers people, but for him, it's got to be encouraging, you know, just positive reinforcement. We talk about the Ayton side and what that does to you. The other side is when the people do fuck with you and they do boost, you know, embrace you, what that can do for a player. And it seems like everything with Austin Reeves is positive and abrasive. So I just see him having a, you know, if you improve your points per game by 5, 6, 7 points, that's a big deal, man. That's an extra 2, 3, 4 baskets
and
a game.
The team's doing good. And we already talked about the Lakers.
They had a great offseason. Yeah. They're going to be a really good team next year. And he's going to be a guy that's going to be playing big minutes and at the forefront of that. I think it's set up for him to have a most improved like year. I have Austin Reeves winning most improved.
How about Anthony Edwards?
Anthony Edwards, it's tough just because he was so dominant last year.
They do that. Most improved, they've done. They do that where, you know, John Morant got it, where they got, the guy goes from, you know, a certain amount of points to 20 to 30, and it's, you know, they'll give it to a guy like that.
Yeah. But what did he average last year? 25?
Something crazy.
26?
He had a great year.
He averaged 30 in the playoffs. I don't know. The guy was so dominant. I don't know how he gets most improved. I think, to your point, and what people are talking about with Ant is, you go from being an all-star, a guy who climbed in there last year.
Yeah, he didn't initially make it.
He didn't initially make
it. We actually did the pod with him right when he didn't get selected.
Remember, he didn't get selected, and then someone got hurt, and he got in. So he kind of got in. It's kind of like those. Remember the first couple of Devin Booker All-Star games?
Yeah.
Like, he kind of climbed in there.
Right.
And everybody, like, if everybody's healthy, he wouldn't have made the game.
Right.
And then the following years, he made it clear, like, no, I'm like the best two guard in the NBA. And now it's not even like a question. Like, Devin's in the All-Star game. He would have been last year if he wasn't hurt. He didn't make it last year, but that was because he missed a whole bunch of games due to injury.
Right.
But when he was playing, he was averaging like 32 or something nuts. So, like, that's what I think people are expecting of Ant. That jump. They got to clean that shit up, though, with what they got going on in terms of, like, the bigs and the spacing for him. Because I don't know what they're doing with that. The spacing for him to get to the basketball, to get to the basket is awful.
Right.
I was just there. No, I'm just saying, I'm just keeping it 100.
Well, you know, Carl's been playing great for Dominican Republic.
I know that, but that's, I don't even know if that's a good thing.
I think he's going to be on the perimeter a lot.
I hope. I mean, we can't be down low. You already got someone else down there, man. His name's Rudy. He's already down there clogging shit up. Now you got Carl bolting in with his size 24 shoe, just running in there, and Ant's trying to go in there and lay it up. It's fucking chaos, bro. And here's the problem. Carl needs to understand he has to be a four. He has to play a four. I know he wants to play the four, but you got to play like a four. Can't go down there for the post and call for the ball. You're not a five anymore, bro. We need you to pick and pop. We need you to be on the floor, handoffs, pass. We need you to play like a four. So, like, that's the only way that situation can kind of work. I think you start Carl and Rudy, and then immediately, like, 3-4 minutes in, one of them has got to come out.
Nas Reed comes right.
And then you stagnate. You keep him stagnant. You keep him stagnant. And then that way you can play both of them. Otherwise, it's just too – the paint is like this for Ant, and he's in there trying to make magic work, bro. It's hard. So that's gonna be a thing for them next year, spacing for him. But yeah, Ant has a chance to be like what DB did a couple years ago. You go from being like a guy who's kind of getting in the All-Star game, talented, and then now it's like you're the guy.
Right.
That's what Ant has to do.
Yeah. You see Rich Paul's comment recently where he said that if Steph Curry would have won the bubble, no one would have said it was, oh, it's a bubble title. But they discredit LeBron. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't agree with that. I think anybody who would have won the bubble would have got slighted. And that's because the bubble was ridiculous. I don't know how else to say that. I was in there. I was in there for 70 days.
Yeah.
Without food, water.
Food is nuts. I'm totally, like, don't tell that to Steven Adams. Food, he's like, water. It's not that bad.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, man. Steven has no kids.
First of all, we're not going at Steven Adams in this part. I mean, I will stand for it.
That's true. I don't want to have beef with that guy. Yeah. But when he said those comments, everybody's like, come on, Steve. I know he grew up in, like, New Zealand with, like, 20 brothers and stuff, and, like, him going to a resort for 70 days is like his, that is perspective. He's actually right, by the way. He's like, guys are acting like we're in hell. We're not. We're staying in a luxury Disney resort. But it was more the aspect of you not being able to have freedom of doing anything, going anywhere. You were locked inside of a room, essentially. But you had to get tested 3 times a day. Couldn't really see couldn't see your family. You know, guys who have kids and family, going 70 days without seeing your kids. That's not cool, bro. You know what I mean? Like, that was crazy. So I think that's where we felt miserable. Guys had anxiety. Guys were depressed in there. Guys weren't playing good basketball. A lot of guys didn't want to be in there. Yeah. That whole Clippers team, they, like, just fell apart. They're like, half their team didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
This guy's eating wings. This guy's over here. This guy's doing this.
I've never had the wings at Magic City, though.
This guy's shooting the ball off the backboard. I mean, that whole team just like, they were like, we're out of here. You know what I mean? That was the end of my pops there. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like that, but that wasn't the only team that was like that. Every team had that a little bit in them. Mm-hmm. When you lose in the playoffs, you feel shitty. You feel sad. And you're like, God, man, I want to play. Like, I want to be in the next round. I want to be in the conference finals. I want to be in that light. I want to be in that stage. When you lost in the bubble, you had guys like, all right, man, I'm going to holler at you boys, but I'm out of here. Hey, I'm out. I'm free. I'm going to tap back in with y'all, man. I'm going to check in. Like, you felt like you were leaving jail.
Right.
It's like guys were getting their papers. It was nuts, bro. So for that reason alone, I don't want to say the bubble has an asterisk next to it, because for those same reasons, you could say it's really hard to win. Right. You had to keep focused.
And the Heat and the Lakers both show that they're both in the conference finals.
Again, last year, they're top tier programs. And at the end of the day, man, we were all in there fair and square. We all had a chance to go in. Whoever won, they won. So you could say, I'm sitting over here saying the other side, like, guys, they want to be there, this and that. But that's not the fucking Lakers' problem.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they wanted to be there. Their team fucking won. You give them credit. I wanted to win. It's not like I wanted to lose. I wanted to, every game I was in there, but we lost. We lost to the Lakers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they beat us in five games. Yeah. They smacked us.
Well, you guys beat them in game one, though. I thought there was a chance.
You got shaky.
You got a little shaky.
Hey, listen. We beat them game one, and we beat them bad. We won by, like, 15, 16. And even when it was close, like, we beat them. Like, the small ball shit was fucking them up.
Yeah. Your tallest player was Jeff Green.
Robert Covington was our starting. Robert Covington was our starting center, bro. Yeah. We won that game and went back in the locker room. I'm not going to lie. I had a good little game at, like, 12, 13 off the bench. I walked back in the locker room. I'm like, I put my feet down. I should have listened to Kobe. Job not finished. We needed a little bit of that in our locker room. We didn't have that. We had, yo, we about to beat the shit out of this team. You know, next thing you know,
four games in a row.
It got nasty out there. Yeah. Next thing you know, I'm beaming the head off LeBron's head because I'm frustrated we're getting our ass kicked.
Oh, I forgot about that. Did you think for a second LeBron was going to come at you? For a quick second, it looked.
No, not at all. I really didn't. I swear to God, I didn't.
He's not going to hurt his legacy. He's getting into a fight. That's
what he's going to punch me in front of a whole bunch of people, like in front of the Nationals. It was on TNT. My life's in danger. I've never been scared of let me just say this publicly, bro. I have never, ever, ever been scared of any NBA basketball player ever in my life, and I never will be. Yeah. All that tough, rah-rah stuff on the court is garbage. I'm just telling you that right now. Now, if I'm off the court, and I'm locked in a room in a locker room, and me and Steven Adams are in there, and no one's around, we're talking shit, then there might be like a little nervous feeling inside. You know what I mean? But if it's not that extreme case, I'm not worried about nobody, first off. Secondly, I didn't mean to do it.
You went in there apologizing. Hands were up.
Well, that's because I didn't want to get a tech. Because the refs all looked at me. First off, it's LeBron James. Ball beating that he gets mad, turns up and squares at me. Refs, they jump in. I'm like, oh, no. I wasn't trying to do that one. We're good. Inside my head, it was a little frustrating moment. I meant to smack the ball. I didn't know it was going to hit his head.
Right.
I hit the ball up top. How did I know where the ball was going to go? Yeah. It just hit him right in the head. I was frustrated. We were getting our ass kicked, bro.
That's crazy, man. You hit the ball in frustration and just landed on maybe the best player of all time.
It's beating his head, bro.
That's crazy. That was crazy odds.
That was crazy. After that, he was just like smiling, laughing, and breathing. It's like, all right. I'm like, bro, it ain't that serious, dog. We got 4 minutes left.
You could have hit him on purpose if you wanted to. Like, that was obviously
anytime I had the ball, I could have thrown it at him. Yeah. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, clearly, I didn't mean to do it. And my thing is like, bro, we got 3 minutes in this game left. We're down. That game was nasty. Game five, we were down like 28 at one point. I was playing so hard at the end. We got to get somebody in this pod. I was trying to pick a fight with everybody in their team.
Why?
To the point where I heard somebody on the bench. I think it was Jared Dudley. It was me and Dwight under the rim. We were like going back and forth. And Jared Dudley was like, Dwight, don't even get, you know what he's doing. He's trying to get under your skin. 2 minutes later, beep. Dwight Howard, technical foul. I was looking.
Why were you trying to fight everyone?
I was.
You just knew you were out the door.
I was petty. I was being petty. I was being a sore loser.
Yeah,
100%. I was shitty and mad that we were getting our ass kicked. We talked a lot of shit game one. You remember Russ was like barking at Rondo's brother, all that, and they came back and smacked us. And it wasn't one game. It was two. It was three. It was four in a row, bro. And the fourth game, we're down like 30, and they're on the sideline just letting us have it, bro. I remember one time I got in the corner and their whole bench was like, hell no. I'm just over like, shit. And I missed it. And I looked back, they're like, sorry. You know, it's their turn to talk. You can't say nothing. You just got to take it. So at that point, with 2 minutes left and I'm still in the game, down 27, I'm shitty.
For sure.
So I'm being.
What's it like when you're in the game with the game's
I'm
out
being
of,
petty.
It's out of,
nasty.
It's gross.
It is a circus. It's free for. It's a free for all. It's a mix between do I play hard to show I'm still, you know, doing everything the right way,
right.
Or is it get mine time? Do I pack up the box score a little bit? That way, when they see we lost by 30, no, Austin had 14. Yeah, it was solid that game.
It wasn't
Austin's fault. Yeah. That's what every player. There's two choices that guys go into. It ain't gonna be my fault. Shit, I got buggers. I don't know about them. That's that energy. What usually losing teams have that.
Yeah.
It's one or the other. I was on the work hard. I was just, bro, I had like four offensive rebounds in the last 4 minutes. I've never
Josh
got,
Hart.
That was Josh Hart out there. And I've never gotten rebounds like that in my life. That's the worst skill I think in my game is I've always been a poor rebounder. Yeah. I'm in there battling for rebounds with JaVale McGee and Durant, pulling shit down like it's mine, throwing it out, running back out to three. Like I'm playing a style of basketball that was so chaotic and like LA fitness like that I was bumping into people. Like, what you gonna do? They're all like, oh my God, bro. I'm just trying to start shit with anybody. It was bad. I had to like look at myself in the mirror after that game. Like,
it's a tough one to shake off.
I was like, who are you?
Silver lining, you were out of the bubble the next day and you were fine.
No, but I was like Pat Beverly. The last 4 minutes of the game, I turned into like a little P Bev. I was out there. It was just nasty basketball, bro. Just chaotic, man. It was crazy. Nah, yeah, they kicked our ass. Whatever, man.
I didn't even mean to bring up some
what just happened, bro? That's a terrible memory from that bubble shit for me was bad, bro.
I didn't mean to ruin the rest of your day.
Also was killing in the bubble.
Yeah, your career high in the bubble.
Well, yeah, that game.
Do you remember I went to your career high before and what you did?
Yes, you came. It was right after my other career high.
Yeah, yeah. So I went to, it was against the Grizzlies, run the Clippers. I was courtside.
Yes.
You had your career high. I was sitting next to a guy that used to train you, Coach Irwin.
You bring this up every time. And you bring that part up because you love to finish it off with how I.
You walked over, took off your jersey, and who did you hand it to?
Coach Irwin.
Yeah, instead of, what the hell was that?
That is because you being a very close friend of mine. You have access to like any jersey. Like there's 100 jerseys I have that I've worn in there, game worn. And you could just scoop one right now and grab one.
Yeah.
Where like Irwin, he came to the game. I'm like, he's in Memphis. I had to give him one.
And he was more aggressive to us, but he like kind of met you halfway on the court. Like,
halfway in the court. This guy was at the free throw line right after the game. I'm like, what's up? And before the game, while I'm in warmups, he was like, let me get that jersey.
Before he knew you were going to get a career high.
Yeah, before that's what it counted. You know what I mean? Before the career high, he wanted the jersey.
Yeah.
Then I put up 38 and he wanted the jersey. And the night before, I had 37 versus the Rockets. Yeah. What a time to be alive.
Last thing I want to bring up, we played pickup last week together. I was guarding you. Why don't you tell everyone what happened?
You did strip me once.
Once? I was, come on.
You only stole it the one time. Yeah, the other times it got a little sloppy.
What, did I knock away?
And I grabbed the, you know, I scored both times.
I played some good defense.
Let's not act like it wasn't just scary hours out there. Right. Was it not impressive?
I just knew you were going to. First play of the day, everyone watches you. Everyone's there lining up. People were watching all around the gym. First play, you try to ISO me. Is this still a popular term? Cookies? It was bad.
You knew I was going to shoot and I wasn't going to drive and you just stood there. You know when you do a crossover on someone this isn't you, but do you know when you do a crossover on someone that's like really sorry? And they don't go anywhere because they're so bad they didn't even know how to go for the crossover. I could have just drove right by you. I'm like giving you the jab and you're like. And I gave you like three of my herky jerky jabs and you're just like, brother, I'm right here. And you just ripped down and grabbed the ball. And like three guys were like going back on defense. So one of the guys was like, what the fuck was that? What just happened? I was like, I just got ripped.
Podcast beef. That's what that was.
Yeah. Pasha just ripped me. I was like, this is nuts. That like fueled the rest of the day for me. I turned up the next time after that.
That didn't play that great that day. Well, all right, good, man. This was good.
This was good. This is a good. I told you.
I think next episode we're gonna do a season preview.
That works.
I want to get all your predictions. I want to get that, prediction for the champion, sixth man, rookie of the year, the whole thing.
Okay. Well, that wraps it up for this week. It was fun to be back, man. We got another episode coming next week. We'll be back in the swing of things, especially after our little hiatus that we've had. But a lot going on in the basketball world, especially with the season on the horizon. So we look forward to getting back into this and getting y'all more consistency in what y'all want to hear from us. So appreciate y'all as always, man. Off guard.